this episode of Entertainment Education, the podcast, the one with a great return. We welcome back Entertainment Education, the podcast for season two. We're starting off this great season talking about social media and the art of ghost stories. Communication began with an oral culture, and although mediated today, ghost stories and narration are still effective tools in the classroom. So grab your popcorn, blanket, s'mores, and any other fun ghost story things that you need, and welcome my guests, Assistant Professor of Communication and Honors Program Director, Ines Petrovic-Garcia, and Associate Professor of Communication, Sherry Waltz, from Vol State Community College.
Help. Spanish. You're taking 12th grade calculus?
Yeah, I like math.
Ew, why?
Because it's the same in every country.
It's beautiful.
Entertainment Education, the podcast, an eight-part series where host Alan Babiarz Lira will take you through the journey of how entertainment can educate and create social change.
Oh, yes, the past can hurt. But the way I see it, you can either run from it or learn from it.
Welcome back. Oh my gosh, I cannot believe we are here for season two of Entertainment Education, the podcast, with me, Alan Babiarz Lira. Welcome, welcome, welcome back. Season two, we are going to dive deeper into how we can use education in the classroom to not only entertain, but educate our students. And today I have two prime examples with me of people who I know firsthand as a fact do this in their classroom, right? First of all, I would like to welcome not only two of my colleagues, but two people that I'm lucky enough to get to call friends. First, I have Assistant Professor Communication and Honors Program Director, Ines Petrovic-Garcia. Hello, Ines.
Hi, Alan. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having us here today.
Thank you. Thank you so much for coming. And another one of our colleagues, and again, another person that I'm lucky enough to get to call a friend, Associate Professor of Communication, Sherry Waltz. Hello, Sherry.
Hello, hello. And I am excited to be here too.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, let's just jump into it, should we? I know both of you guys use social media in your classroom. Either one of you, feel free to jump in. But why did you all decide to bring in that methodology into your classrooms?
I can go first. You know, Alan, this is a great question. I'm trying to remember the first time I started using it, and it's been a while. But for me, it really started from just observing how naturally students gravitate towards social media in their daily lives. So, you know, I think it's where they're already engaging and sharing and expressing themselves. So, you know, instead of fighting for their attention, I thought, why not meet them where they are? So social media platforms like Instagram or TikTok, they're built around storytelling and visual learning. And I think those are powerful tools in educational setting if we use them intentionally. So for me, it really stopped being about using technology just to use it and became more about using those tools that students already know how to actually use to make learning just more engaging and really just help students connect with each other.
Social media is about connection, so it's a stronger connection in the classroom, right? Sherry,
Exactly.
was it, would you like to add something?
Yeah, so for me, of course, I think a pivotal time in a lot of our lives was COVID. And so I can kind of separate my educational experience pre-COVID and post-COVID. So before COVID, I did a lot with technology in the classroom, not necessarily social media, but definitely a lot with technology. And then when we shifted during COVID to fully online, and I think like a lot of people, I was introduced to TikTok and fell in love with it, spent way too much time on it. And then when I came back to the classroom after COVID, for me, I definitely saw a difference in our students pre-COVID and post-COVID. And I think like Inez, I realized that I needed to start meeting the students where they are. And I thought that social media was going to be a platform to allow that to happen. I think that especially teaching public speaking, students think of it as old school, old white people give speeches and not them. And they don't see themselves with that skill set. And I saw TikTok especially as a platform to help my students see how we communicate every day, maybe through video or other means, in a more, I guess, less formal methodology than giving a speech. And I think it really opened up my students' eyes to seeing how we do communicate and the skills that we're teaching are valuable today, even if they will never stand on a stage and talk to thousands of people at a given time. And so for me, I started using social media post-COVID.
I was very lucky that it was just my husband and I in the house because I was doing those TikTok dances all around. You should see my drafts. I recorded so many and I never posted them ever. But yes, no, TikTok saved COVID and so did Netflix. So yeah, no, I completely agree. Ines, so I know, just because again, I personally know you are the Instagram queen of everything. Do you have any examples of how you've used Instagram in the classroom?
Yes. So I do love Instagram. I love taking, these aesthetically pleasing pictures and capturing some cute moments from my life. So I really do like Instagram. I don't know about being Instagram queen, but thank you for that acknowledgement. When it comes to the classroom and how I use it, the first thing that comes to mind is one of the assignments that I use in my interpersonal communication class. So this assignment's been especially powerful in the classroom, and I call it a visual communication activity. It's kind of based on the idea that a picture is worth a thousand words. So basically, students are asked to take a photo of something in their own life that represents interpersonal communication. So it can be a selfie with their best friend laughing. It can be a quiet moment between friends. I mean, even something symbolic, like I don't know, friendship bracelet or a gift, right? Whatever. So we use a class Instagram account, and students post their photo on that account along with a short explanation. So why they chose that image, how it represents communication, and which course concepts or theories it connects with. So is it nonverbal communication, relational dynamics, social identity theory, attachment styles, whatever they come up with. So they break it down and connect it to real life communication. And then they present their posts to the class. So the way I see this, it's not just about Instagram and social media. It really becomes a way to connect theory with real life, also reflect visually, and just create this shared student-driven archive of what communication looks like in the world around them. So they like to use Instagram, they like social media, but I also kind of lead them so they can connect theory with social media. So I chose to talk about this one because it's always one of the most engaging projects we do. They always try to make these really aesthetically pleasing posts. We discover more about their lives throughout these posts, and it works really well. So usually they talk about how much they enjoyed it. So as I said, it's not all about Instagram, but it's a really great channel for them to showcase not only their creativity, but also what they're learning in the class.
Oh, I love that so much. That might be an example of a project that I steal. Oh, wait, no. In education, we don't steal, we borrow. That might be something that I borrow and put in next time I teach an interpersonal class or even any kind of class. You know, that sounds like a great example for an intro communication class. It's when we talk about that as well. Relatively similar, Sherry, I'm going to call you the TikTok queen. How do you think TikTok videos can be effective in the classroom? And have you used TikTok in the classroom?
So I use it in two ways. One is I follow several communication scholars who have TikTok channels, and I utilize their very quick, you know, 1, 2, 3 minutes. Some of them are longer, but they're very quick, short videos on instruction. Because again, I think that students connect a little bit more with the TikTok style format, with the short chunking of information and that type of thing. So I really enjoy using videos to talk about different concepts. And then again, they don't have to hear me talking about everything. And so I have several of them that I use. And then there are a couple of activities that I do throughout the semester that I lean heavily into TikTok, although I don't have a TikTok channel that I have the students post on or anything like that. But we do use, so the two that I do, the first one is the very beginning of the semester. We do a called an elevator speech, but there is a particular format that one of the scholars on TikTok, again, he teaches communication and he has a particular format that he uses, and it works really well and students really like it. It gives them something to say without the dreaded stand up and introduce yourself to the class activity that every semester happens in a lot of classes. And so it makes it just a unique way to learn about the students in the very beginning. And it's a quick 1 minute or less speech, and it's relatively simple. And so we learn about it via TikTok and then we create it. And then I would say that later on in the semester, I have more of an established TikTok type of speech where they actually record a 1 to 3 minute video. And then we watch it in class. But again, I don't have them upload it to TikTok itself, but they do learn how to use computer mediated communication, how to look into a camera. We do practice using a teleprompter, and we practice just the differences between recording something versus talking to a live audience. Because in a public speaking class, most of our speeches, of course, are live in the classroom. But then we bring in this new skill for them to learn a little bit later on in the class. And it's definitely engaging students. Between that one and the impromptu students, I think are my most rowdy speeches. Students are a little nervous about hearing themselves, seeing themselves on camera, but in general, they like the activity. And I think they really like the activity because they can re-record it many, many times before we watch it in class. And I think they like the fact that they have some control over what they're presenting versus in the classroom, it's a little harder because it's live and in person. So that's kind of what we do.
You know, that's the one thing I have to agree with, especially doing something like podcasting versus radio. Our school, shout out to WVCP 88.5, WVCP.net, and the Monday morning mashup with Professor Allen. But our school has a radio station, and doing a radio station where it's a little more live versus a podcast where I can stop and I can, if I, you know, fumble, I could stop right here, re-record, and make it seem seamless and perfect versus this live environment of communication, you know, especially if you're going Instagram live or TikTok live, you know, you're having a different source of communication or a different type of communication, as we know, as we teach that in our everyday classes. Speaking of TikTok, let's stay on the TikTok train. And here's just a little tout because I can again. And yes, we just completed some research together on TikTok, and you, my friend, as the lead author, just got our acceptance letter. So yay, we are going to be published. You want to talk a little?
Congratulations, yay.
Oh, did you not know about this, Sherry?
I did not, no.
Oh, look at that. Well, yes, no. Ines got the acceptance letter with some minor revisions. So we're going to make those and turn those in. But you want to tell us a little bit about the research and our listeners out there?
Absolutely. So we conducted a study that looks at how TikTok's algorithm spreads conspiracy content and misinformation. So
Ooh.
exactly. This is a replication study. So building on earlier research, Alan and I basically interacted with the app to see how the algorithm reacted. So I set up a new TikTok account and Alan used his existing account, and by using a digital ethnography method, we examined if the algorithm acts differently towards new users versus experienced users and what kind of content it shows. So basically, we found that TikTok's algorithm strongly shapes what new users see and often pushes conspiracy videos. But for experienced users, the algorithm's influence on recommendations is less noticeable. So overall, I mean, this really helps us understand how misinformation spreads differently depending on how familiar someone is with the platform. So it was a really interesting study. I really enjoyed working with Alan on this project. And as he already mentioned, we got acceptance letter and it is going to be published soon. So I'm excited that you asked this question so we can talk
Well,
about
you know, it's exciting because I have talked about this a few times in the classroom with my students and show them that there is a way to bring what you love, your passion to your assignments and your classroom. Because this was an assignment that we completed, like you were mentioning, in a replication class. And they're all my students were surprised. They're like, "You use TikTok to do that?" And I was like, "Yeah." And we use conspiracy theories on TikTok. So we were like, you know, my conspiracy theories, while they were more entertainment based, and Inessa's were more you know, political based at the time, because we were doing this during the election. I was like, yeah, you know, I was getting, you know, Beyonce conspiracies, and I was getting conspiracies about Walt Disney and the Jonas Brothers and all this interesting stuff, and they could not believe that I was able to take a real life subject and bring it into the classroom somehow. So I really appreciate you asked, first of all, you asking me to work with you, but letting us get this out there.
Yeah, exactly. And as you mentioned, it's really great to show students that when they have a speech coming up and we give them the freedom of choosing the topic that they want, that they can really talk about something they're really interested in. So
absolutely.
I think it's a great example that you mentioned about, hey, I'm a TikTok user. I am really interested into this subject, and let me, you know, do something practical with it. So
I don't know if I would relinquish my algorithm to TikTok though, by clicking on things that I'm not interested in. I'm not sure I could ever go back. As it is, like every once in a while, my husband will send me a video or something. I'm like, I'm not watching that because I don't want the algorithm to think that I want that kind of content on my TikTok page. So.
Well, you are going to have to read the article to find out what happened to my algorithm.
Okay.
There's more details we did not share. So
There is. So we've talked about the positives so far, both of you for social media and technology in the classroom. Next part's kind of two-sided. This next question's two parts, I should say. Have you all seen any downsides of social media in the classroom?
Well, I think so. Social media isn't a magic bullet. We know that there are real concerns. This is something that I talk about with my students when we talk about social media chapter, but they're real concerns. So think about distraction, privacy concerns, and I often talk about the pressure of perfection and how that affects self-esteem and self-concept, etc. So I always emphasize that these tools are optional and used with boundaries. So I think that it's great that we can use them as tools, but we can't forget the importance of face-to-face discussion and storytelling and listening. And I truly believe that the best learning happens when we combine traditional face-to-face communication with digital tools. Social media is a great tool for capturing attention, as I mentioned before, but I think that the real learning usually happens when we slow down and actually have conversations. So class discussions, group conversations, because the human connection, it's super important and it really can't be replaced. So that's my take on this question.
Shay, would you like to add?
So definitely, I would say in terms of using social media in the classroom, I don't really see any downsides of using it. However, social media as a concept and the use of social media in general, of course, Inez talked about several of them. And I think probably the biggest one is the self-esteem and the expectation that everything is perfect in everybody else's life but my own. And that can create some really some struggles for students when they are maybe failing a class, or maybe they just broke up with a significant other, or maybe they are struggling with food insecurity or something else that's going on, and they are on social media and they see other people that are their age that have all their shit together, and that's not them. And then they start to feel less than, and it's very hard not to play that comparison game. And so, in terms of just social media itself, there definitely are some very some big concerns about social media and what they're doing. So one of the a few people that I follow on TikTok deal with AI, and I recently there's been a lot of concern about, of course, AI taking people's jobs. I don't know. I think it was Duolingo, but it was somebody that fired all of their human people to utilize
Yes, it was.
AI, okay, as their primary platform help, because then that way they don't have to pay people. So there's a lot of talk right now about AI taking over. But on a flip side, several of the folks that I follow are talking a lot about how the human connection, that presence, will be what we value and pay for. And so, kind of like what Inez was saying, that in the classroom, that we have to teach students that value of connection, that storytelling, learning how to connect with other people, even though we are in this explosion of new technology, and I would say life-altering technology that will be happening over the course of the next few years, that it will become most valuable for students to learn how to create real connections with other human beings, because that is what is going to be prized. Because the AI will do all of the, I guess, the easy work, right? And then it will rely on humans for that other component. And so now teaching things in like our interpersonal classes or in public speaking, where we're really talking about how do we share knowledge, how do we connect with other people, how do we handle conflict, the people who understand how to do those things will be the more sought after people in the industry. And so that gives me some great, I don't know, it makes me feel hopeful about our students and about what we're teaching them. Because although the algorithm and AI might replace some stuff, there will be things that it cannot replace.
I'm gonna go I'll piggyback what off something you said earlier, Sherry. You kind of look at your classroom as pre-COVID and post-COVID, I hate to say, because we did a lot during COVID to update our classrooms. And a lot of pre-COVID, it was a more oral classroom culture versus a more technology. Like you said, you were bringing in technology right at that time. I think we all were bringing in technology at that time, but it wasn't. I remember handing out paper quizzes, Now I let the learning system grade it for me, So there's a lot of difference. So I know, Sherry, you are going to be stepping out of the social media spotlight a little bit this fall, and you are teaching a ghost stories class this fall. Tell me, how did you get back to this oral culture? Thought of this oral culture, and how did you come up with this ghost stories class? Because I know the story, but
So
tell our listeners.
certainly, well, pre-COVID, one of the things that we were noticing in the classroom was that a lot of disconnection, that students, especially at a two-year college, come, they go to class, they go to work, they go home, and there's really not a lot of third space connection on campus. And so one of the things that we really wanted to make happen was we wanted to find ways for students to connect. So we brought in this whole module of storytelling and about how important storytelling has been, which has lended itself very well to TikTok and other things, But in light of TikTok possibly being banned and not really sure what's going on with that, I didn't want to stake a whole semester class on something that we weren't sure what was going to happen. And so I happened to be at a conference with Inez, and I went to a session on ghost stories, and I thought it was fascinating, but I thought it fit in really well with our storytelling module and about how we have already taught students how to tell a personal story. I thought it might be fun to try to look to see how horror kind of plays in. And so Inez is doing a lot of research on the psychological aspects of it and the cultural aspects about how different cultures use ghost stories in particular. And I'm going to be doing some research on some other components of it, but like why those stories got started, how we tell them, and then how they got shifted from the oral tradition of telling a story to now media, right? And so everything from film and video and TikTok and other platforms, and about how we use them. And so really it fits really nicely with our need to share. And it's October, and so I thought it would be really smart to do something fun that would be different and bring in something, you know, unique. And it's really nice. Those one unit classes that we offer are fun because they do allow for a lot of flexibility. We don't have to have a whole textbook. We don't have to have a whole 15 weeks worth of information. It's very small, condensed, and it allows us to look at one particular aspect of communication. And I enjoy them.
So how are you going to, because oral culture and storytelling does go way back to our forefathers in communication. How are you going to make that innovative? You mentioned it briefly. Are you going to bring any podcasts or TikToks or social medias or into the classroom with you? Or how are you going to
do it? Oh, yeah.
So I know it's quick. I know it's only 5 weeks, but.
Yeah. So right now we have, 5 weeks, and we're looking at different aspects of storytelling. And one of the things that I plan on doing, of course, I have found several podcasts and some other things through YouTube. But one of the things that we're going to try to do is we have some local ghost lore that is local to Tennessee. We have a few ghost stories that are here right here in Gallatin. And then we have, of course, the very big one, which is the Bell Witch, but that's a little bit further out in Adams, Tennessee, but still it is a huge ghost story. And so I have a connection with some folks that are going to be sharing that story with us. And so they won't be coming in because it's an online class, but I am going to have them record it and record the story so that we can share that with the class.
I'll jump in and just say that when I was advising students for the fall semester, and as I was talking about this class, students were so excited to have this option to take it. And as Sherry said, we're developing the class and we have all these ideas, but it's so awesome that it will be offered right there during fall. So it's going to be super creative, and it goes well, obviously, with the Halloween theme and just the fall mood. So we're excited.
I think I'm going to have to audit this class because I'm excited.
We actually have two professors that are in the class from English that are taking it. And so I feel a little stressed about that, but needless to say, it should be fun. I like them because it allows us to look a little deeper than you would in a class. Like if it was a classroom lecture, you might spend a day on it, maybe an hour. So a little bit deeper than that, but it's certainly not a semester's worth of content. And so I like that balance. It's something that we can look at that is, I don't know, it's engaging for the audience. And I know Inez is doing some research on the psychological impact, but there is certainly a big drive to tell scary stories and to be engaged in scary stories. Like that is part of the human condition. And so that's why horror films do so well. And that's why they are a big part of the popular culture is horror film.
Mm-hmm. There's a reason that they're making Scream 8 right now.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yes. Exactly.
All right. So here's a loaded question for both of you. And Sherry, you kind of mentioned this earlier, that AI is evolving so quickly and we don't know where it's going. So do you feel that social media is going to be an effective way to use, or an effective tool in the classroom in the future? Or is AI going to change that?
I think AI is going to change everything about everything. I don't think there'll be anything that will not be touched by it. I liken it to, you know, certainly the other large technical impacts that we've had, the iPhone and how it changed us, society, mm-hmm. and being able to look at things at our fingertips. And then prior to that, computers, right? Personal computers, having a computer at home, like those were such huge technological advances. Of course, there were many before that, but those ones are in my lifetime. And I can distinctly remember life before those items and then life after those items. And I think AI is going to be the same way. I think it's fascinating. I think it's fun. I think it's exciting. I can't wait to see what it changes. I do think that it's going to change the way that we use social media, kind of like your guys' study where you found that it changed what the algorithm fed you and then what that looked like. So I do think that as AI becomes more integrated, I don't know, maybe a stronger tool. I don't know exactly what word I'm looking for, but I think it is going to change what is showing up on social media. And honestly, what I think is going to change more of it is the whole, like Google's new video program that just came out, their AI video software. So you can make entire videos now with just an AI prompt. So super cool. So I think that's going to change the landscape a lot, because now you're going to have people that are not in film and not in media per se, being able to create images that look real. So I think that's going to change everything. So I think social media will change, but I think what is social about social media, the need for connection, that will still be here. I do think it will look different though.
Yeah. I agree with Sherry. I think social media will still have a place, but it's going to evolve alongside AI. The way I see it is that AI actually enhances how we use social media platforms. So Sherry mentioned generating videos, or even think about generating content ideas. To kind of think about the classroom setting, maybe supporting students who struggle with visual design. And something that I usually think about is now when you use social media, you have these AI tools that can translate different languages across posts. So that also increases accessibility, which I think it's pretty cool if you think about it. But also, I think, you know, it raises questions about authenticity and critical thinking. You know, AI makes content creation easier, but I think the value will shift toward why and how we're using these platforms and not just what we're posting. So basically, I really agree with Sherry. Social media and human connections will remain relevant. And, you know, as educators, we just need to adapt and help students use these tools in a more intentional way. We were talking about COVID, and that's what we do as educators. We adapt to different challenges, to different changes, to different mm-hmm. technologies. So I think it is the same in this case.
I completely agree 1,000% with what you all say, and I could go on for more and more. However, this episode is not on AI, so I will cut it there. As we are coming towards the end of our episode this time, I decided this season I'm going to steal a trick from my friend Cody. My friend Cody's going to be on the next episode. The next episode, speaking of, is going to talk about how entertainment, fandom, and rivalry are going to impact education. The rest of the season, we're going to look at Taylor Swift, AI, of course, video games, legacy media, you know, that old stuff like newspapers and radio and the news, literature and narratives. And of course, just like last season, we're going to end with my favorite subject, Disney, because I always want to talk about Disney. But to end this episode, I'm going to hit you two with some rapid fire questions. Dun, dun, dun. I need to get a really cool sound or something to put behind that. I don't know. I'll figure it out by the end of the semester. Or at the end of the semester. How do you like that? The end of the season. How about that? So just tell me the first answer that comes to your mind. All right? Are you all ready?
Yep.
All right. Ines, these are all based on the classroom. When you are writing on the whiteboard, what's your go-to dry erase marker color?
Green.
Ooh, good one. Sherry, if any song could play when you walk into the classroom, what would you want it to be?
Oh my gosh, I have absolutely no idea. I'm not a song person. I don't do music.
Oh, how about a beat? Can we give you a beat?
Yeah, you can do. You make it up for me. I'll walk in. I don't know. Maybe I have to go to a Savannah Bananas baseball game and I'll figure out one
exactly.
of their songs. Although Ooh. I will say, in the last semester, I had a great class, and when we were doing our last speeches, they wanted to do walk up music, and so several of the students did that, and they had walk up music, and it was really fun, and the class really enjoyed it. But I would have to think long and hard for that one.
See, we're gonna make you a Savannah Banana. Ines, if you could go back and do something else besides teaching, what would it be?
I always wanted to be a vet.
Ooh.
I love animals. As you know, I have my fur baby. His name is Noah. And my dream growing up was to be a vet. That was easy.
Sherry, you won an unlimited supply of snacks for your classroom every day. What would that snack be?
Well, I would say Nutter Butters, but I would also have to say that I know people have nut allergies. So then that would just be my personal favorite one. But if it was for the classroom, I would say Ritz crackers.
Ooh, okay. Ines, what is your favorite class to be or to teach, and what size would it be?
Well, my favorite class to teach is interpersonal communication. This class is usually a bit smaller. We have about 18 to 20 students, and it is a perfect size for an interpersonal comm class.
Now, Sherry, my favorite drink to bring into the classroom is a large mug of hot steaming coffee. What is your favorite classroom drink? Well, besides alcohol, of course.
Yeah, I was going to say. So since we're a dry campus,
no.
I would say it's water. I drink water all the time, everywhere, for everything, and I couldn't live without it. So I love it.
Ah, that's the rapid fire for you all. Dun, dun, dun. Again, insert cool sound bite there. First of all, I would love to thank you. Thank you both for joining me today. I had a blast talking to you and listening to your thoughts on social media and hearing about ghost stories. I'm excited for that class. I hope I hope it goes really well, and maybe you can offer it again in the future. So that would be fun.
We hope so.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, Alan. This was super interesting. I really enjoyed chatting with both of you today.
Well, again, thank you so much for your expertises. Everything that you bring to the table is phenomenal. Thank you to all the listeners out there, the 986 of you that we have. Not sorry, 986,000. I know there's a lot of people that listen to us. So thank you all for listening. And as my friend Mickey says, we'll see you real soon.